the Figure Four Online Studios in beautiful Bothell, Washington, exclusively at WrestlingObserver.com. You are listening to Wrestling Observer Radio with your hosts, Dave Meltzer and Brian Alvarez.
How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez and Dave Meltzer here on Wrestling Observer Radio. It is January 14, 2014. Here at figure4online.com/WrestlingObserver.com. We have Raw to talk about here tonight, as well as a lot of news. We'll take your questions as well. If you want to join the conversation, use the F4W Live hashtag on Twitter. I'll be monitoring that throughout the show. And Dave, what's going on?
A lot.
That's right. There is a lot going on.
A ton is going on. There's an amazing amount. In fact, there's a New Japan pay-per-view going on right this second.
It's Fantastic Mania.
Fantastic Mania. Yeah, yeah. So I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to watch it, because there's Vince McMahon thing tomorrow morning at 8, and we're doing a show at noon. Then there's the UFC weigh-ins immediately after that. I think I've got an interview in between. I know I have an interview in between with Keith Kaiser. So it's going to be and I got a bunch of stories to write. I got to finish up the issue. It's going to be a crazy day.
Well, since you mentioned it very quickly, we'll do the in-depth MMA talk later on. But what is happening with Keith Kaiser?
Well, Keith Kaiser resigned on Friday as executive director of the Nevada State Athletic Commission. He's taking another job. He was not forced out, although it makes a better story to say he was, but he really wasn't. In fact, I talked to Francisco Aguilar, who's the chairman of the commission, earlier today. And he's, you know, because I know Keith Kaiser pretty well, and I didn't know. I mean, there are people who knew, you know, that this might be coming. I didn't know that. But when, you know, I said, like, you know, yeah, I was blindsided on Friday, and he goes, so was I. He goes, you know, he told me Friday morning, and then he told a couple of his friends Friday afternoon before the news was released late Friday afternoon that he was going to be leaving the post January 27th. But he's really not doing much. But they got a lot of pressure, because they got to get – they're gonna bring in an interim guy, and I don't know who it will be, but they're going to have to get him there pretty quick, because they've got a big show on February the 22nd is the next big show. And they got Pacquiao in March, and they got Mayweather in May, and I think they got a big. Let me see if I even have it written. They got a big boxing match in April as well. So they got February, March. They got two shows. I think it's two shows in February. No. They got a February show in March and April and a May. So they got big four straight months of big shows in Las Vegas and all in Las Vegas. So, and you know, getting an, it's tough. They got to get a new commissioner, and it's got to be someone who knows boxing and MMA, because they're both, you know, in the state. And I don't know if that means recruiting somebody from out of state. Will they then give them, you know, moving expenses to come in? Will they pay? I mean, the pay for the commission, I mean, considering, you know, everything that's going on, it's not the greatest in the world. And, you know, you're working, obviously you're working a lot of weekends and things like that. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of, you know, you're under a lot of scrutiny. No matter who you are, you're going to get nailed, because that's just the nature of the beast with that job. And which is not to say that there haven't been times where he hasn't deserved to get nailed. But, you know, I mean, no matter what you do, there's always going to be close fights. There's always going to be bad decisions in people's minds in close fights, and there's going to, on occasion, be bad decisions that are real bad decisions. It's just going to happen when you got a ton of fights in your state. There's going to be, you know, there's, and then again, there's all kinds of issues with being the head of the commission. You know, and the commission still has to figure out what they're going to do with Vitor Belfort. You know, and that'd be when that fight comes up, because, you know, are you going to give it a license to use testosterone to a guy who already has failed a steroid test in your own state? Not only that, but when he was under suspension in your own state, he went and fought, you know, somewhere else, which, mm-hmm. you know, he was out of the United States, but he did fight, you know, while under suspension, which you're really not supposed to do. So, you know, I don't think that actually will come up as an issue as part of his, you know, whether he gets the TUE or not, but there is an issue if he's going to get the TUE or not.
Well, let's get going on this Raw show. Obviously, a very noteworthy show. The big story, obviously, is that, surprise, Daniel Bryan is a babyface again. He's already turned on Bray Wyatt. They're going to be doing a match at Royal Rumble. And apparently somebody figured out, it's kind of weird that this guy is a heel, and meanwhile there are these, you know, these sports, all of these fans at sporting events doing yes chants. It's getting publicity all over
Michigan
the place.
State thing. I mean, I think the Michigan, once they did the Michigan State thing, he was, you know, I mean, it was the whole idea of turning him was not the best of ideas anyway. But I mean, but you know, when the Michigan State stuff happened, you know, you pretty much had to turn him back. I think you didn't have to, because I mean WWE. And a lot of times in wrestling, things happen in real life that kind of would necessitate a storyline change. And very often in wrestling, you just go, you know, we're not going to let real life interfere with my script. But they did this time, and it was the right move. You know, but I mean, the whole thing, that the original turn was not the right move anyway. So it's dropped in 2 weeks, and now everything's back to normal. And Daniel Bryan's probably going to be facing Bray Wyatt at the Rumble. And, facing at all the house shows. And, you know, the Daniel Bryan, Bray Wyatt stuff at the house shows this weekend died in every show, too. So, you know, and they would have kept going with it, I'm sure, if the Michigan State stuff hadn't happened. But the reality is it was real tough for the fans, because the fans really like him. They didn't want him as a heel. They didn't really like the way those matches were laid out, in White Plains and what was the other city that they worked that tour in, Glens Falls. So there you go.
Well, the show opened up with the Wyatts and the Usos in a tag match. It was Bryan and Bray against the Usos. Bryan was very aggressive. Usos did their big comeback, hit some big dives. And then, of course, the other two Wyatts ran in for the disqualification. The Usos made their own comeback, and in the middle of the melee, Bryan ate a super kick. And this made him very angry. And so Bray went over there, and he gave him a hug. Crowd is chanting no. But Bryan got on his knees, and then Bray gave him the Sister Abigail, laid him out. And fans were not happy about that, but more to come. We had John Cena at 9:30 p.m. facing Damian Sandow. And, of course, they had had a match before. Sandow had, he lost his Money in the Bank briefcase and such, title shot to Cena. And so this was, I guess, his revenge match weeks later.
Months later. That was October.
Months later, that's right. Yeah. So Cena made his usual comeback, went for the AA, got cut off. I should note, by the way, this is the second time I've noticed this, that John Cena is wearing very visible red and yellow undies. And I cannot call this a coincidence.
Hogan's coming back.
Yes. Hogan is coming back. This is foreshadowing the return of Hulk Hogan.
Yeah. I mean, the deal is not signed on paper, but he is coming back.
I would expect that if he comes back, he's inducting the Warrior.
Boy, will that be a lot of phoniness for one night.
Well, there's going to be a lot of phoniness one way or the other. So you may as well have Hogan induct the
Warrior. I wouldn't be surprised. I know a lot of people are saying that, but I mean, my God.
Maybe Hogan can induct the Warrior, and then he'll do the sad face, and so he'll get himself over more than Warrior.
I don't know, man. That whole thing, I mean... It was bound to happen and everything, but Hogan inducting him, I mean, boy.
Who else inducts Warrior? I mean, the whole Warrior video package was centered around him beating Hogan.
Yeah, I mean, you know, all the stuff Warrior said about him and all the stuff he said about Warrior. I mean, it's one thing.
All the stuff WWE said about Warrior, and now they're putting him over.
Well, but I know.
They're DVD.
I know. But that's Vince. I mean, I mean, Vince has always been like that. I mean, as far as like, I mean, I guess Hogan has as well, but it's amusing in a lot of ways. I mean, Warrior, what's amusing to me about Warrior, you know, is for all those years, everybody that went back to Vince in this type of situation, he would just, you know, talk about how, you know, they have no morals. And I mean, he just ripped on Brett when Brett went back about, you have to make good with him and this and this. And, you know, you'd never see him doing that. And, he did too. And, I mean, the whole thing is he is getting a DVD. You know, I mean, I don't know if he's getting the apology from Vince that he wants publicly. I don't think that Vince is going to do that. He might, But he's getting the DVD, you know, where they basically do a 180 on their other DVD, which is, I guess, whatever. I
mean, well, he didn't get an apology, but Vince did put him over in the press release when they made this big announcement.
Well, of course he's keeps putting him in the Hall of Fame. Of course he's going to put him over in the press release. It's the whole thing is just, you know, it's just funny. I mean, but it's, you know, I mean, it's not like it's the first time. I mean, Vince, how many guys has Vince buried and everything like that, and then brought back when the money's right and things, you know, things like that. So I guess no Savage in the Hall of Fame this year.
We had Sandow going for a submission. They teased he was actually going to submit John Cena, but of course he didn't.
He used a crossface.
This was earlier. He did some sort of reverse sharpshooter type hold. So whatever he calls it.
It was a sharpshooter type move, yeah.
So Cena pulled out a tornado DDT, put on the STF. There was a rope break. They did tons of near falls. They put Sandow over big here. And then finally he went for the crossface, and Cena stood up and hoisted him into the AA for the pin. Good match. I think their first match actually was a lot better, but this was still a good match.
Yeah.
And
this was a real heavy, and I don't know what the reason was, but this was a really heavy wrestling show and a lot less talking. So a lot of long matches on this show, which in most cases were good. In one case, I kind of got lost, but this match was good. Yeah.
We had a big WWE Network announcement video package, one of two of the evening. Largely, they just kind of recapped everything that they'd said at the press conference or the presentation.
It was the same stuff they'd put on SmackDown for the most part.
Sure. I think that I think they should spend some time over the next 2 months doing short video packages explaining how easy it is going to be for you to get the WWE Network. Because we still have a million people asking questions. Can I get it on this? Can I get it on that? Will I be able to see it here? Will I be able to see it there?
They'll explain all that when the time comes.
Well, they need to get going on that, I think.
I mean, they pretty much did say you could get it on pretty much any device. They pretty much did say that.
Well, they said it, but I think people want to know how.
Okay.
I do.
Well, I mean,
we're getting calls about it and questions
and emails about
it every day.
I'm sure they'll explain it. It doesn't matter until February 24th.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you explain it now, people are going to forget by February 24th.
I don't think they'll
That's
forget.
True. Think about it. It is true. You know that.
If they explain to me how I can get it on my Roku box, I'm pretty sure I'll remember at the end of the month.
Okay. Well, I'm not so sure because all I know is that...
Otherwise, they got some big problems.
All I know is that I keep reading about how difficult it is to figure out how to get stuff on the UFC channel. And I mean... It takes me 10 seconds to find everything I need to find. And people are talking about it's so confusing, and it's like, if it's that confusing, then you're not going to remember stuff in February. You know, you don't need to tell people until mid-February and all that stuff, until they can order it.
We had Kane meeting with Brad backstage, and I thought this segment was so funny. Kane wants a great idea from Brad. So what he wants is for Brad to come up with some sort of booking idea for the show. And Brad's brilliant idea was, let's do Wyatt's versus Usos again, this time in a cage.
Yeah, because it was outside interference the first time. Makes perfect sense.
To do the same match on the same show?
When they only went 5 minutes in the first match, I knew they were bringing it back.
Brad should know. Brad watches too much SmackDown, because that's what they do on every SmackDown. Brad should know that when you trot a guy out a second time on a show, never does as well as the first time.
Actually, you know, you're right. You're right. In almost every case, that's true.
So Kane had a better idea, which was the cage will be locked.
Well, Kane had the same idea, other than you know, lock the cage and I'm going to hold the key.
Yeah, that was his idea.
Yeah.
So that was the match.
Well, I mean, it was to tell you. I mean, the key was that you're going to get no outside interference because the first match was ruined by outside interference. It made perfect sense.
I got a question for you. Do you think that Kane is a secret agent?
No.
You don't?
No, not really.
All right.
I mean, he could be, but nah.
Because Kane is making decisions, and every time he makes a decision, it does not pay off for the heels.
I don't know about that, but...
That's my theory for where this is going, but we'll see. We had Big Show and Swagger. This was a squash. Show knocked out Zeb afterwards. Complete bully. They built it up forever. He did the old Popeye swing the arm backwards multiple times and then swing forwards and knock the dude out. Zeb took a full bump. I don't know if this means he's out for a while or what.
I think he will be, yeah.
Cesaro was just appalled by this whole thing. So
Cesaro ran away, which I hated seeing that. Well, I just don't think that that fits with his character. But, I mean, I know that the idea is they got to get show over for Brock.
Yeah, by knocking out Zeb?
Well, yeah.
What a bully.
Well, Zeb had heat, and no one's, you know, so it was, maybe they're getting rid of Zeb. I hope not, though.
I sure hope not.
Well, I hope not.
So, yeah, this set up show versus Brock somehow. We had the New Age Outlaws against, actually, and CM Punk against The Shield in a six-man. So Outlaws ran wild for a while at the beginning, tagged Punk in. They made sure to mention during this match, they reminded us that at the end of Raw last week, Jake Roberts came out and put a snake on Dean Ambrose. However, there was no follow-up whatsoever to this, only that it happened. So,
how can you follow up? Because Jake's not going to be on the show.
Well, I hope Jake's coming back at some point for something, some sort of pop.
I would suspect he will.
Punk did a dive. Then they got the heat on him. And they're beating him up, and Reigns is on the outside. And Punk is draped over the ropes. And Roman Reigns on the floor does a running drop kick where he lands back first on the apron and kicks Punk right in the face. And my God, it looked like he kicked this guy in the face so hard.
He kicked him hard. Yeah, you know what, though? I mean, he did. He kicked him really hard. That was a very impressive move, though.
It was a very impressive move, but he kicked the guy right in the face really hard. And yeah. Poor Punk's grabbing his face the entire thing. The heels worked the face. And
I mean, you're right, but I'm just, you know, after watching, you know, New Japan Pro Wrestling, it's not like he kicked him in the face half as hard as I see all
well,
the time.
No, but anybody can get a concussion if you kick him in the face
too
hard.
I know, but it was hard, I know.
So they actually turned this into part of the match, which was that they're working over Punk, they're working over his face, but Dean Ambrose, for whatever reason, well, I guess actually because it's part of the storyline, he's just working over whatever, and Seth is on the apron yelling, "Don't forget his face!" So the story of this was that, you know, Ambrose just keeps doing whatever he wants, he keeps screwing up, and finally Punk
is... He didn't screw up.
Well, they're yelling at him because they keep telling him what to do, and he refuses to do it. He's going into business for himself.
Okay.
So, finally, Punk goes to make the tag, and the Outlaws bail. And the story, obviously, is that they're Hunter's buddies, and he has made the call that they are to desert CM Punk so that it is a 3-on-1 beating, which it was, and then he made a brief comeback and was speared and pinned. So, I'm not sure why the Outlaws, you know, wrestled half the match before walking out on Punk, but they did. So they leave, and then Roman suggests they give Punk the big power bomb, which they do, which lays him out for, by my calculations, about an hour before he was fine. And that was that. Bray lectured Brian backstage. He said the Usos did not want this cage match. Society, he says, is a cage. And Brian then said that inside the cage tonight, they would find monsters. We had AJ and Tamina against Funkadactyls. We had the debut of Emma from NXT, Lance Storm trainee. She had some sort of Twitter hashtag sign. It said like Emmataining or Emma. What did it say?
Emmatainment?
Emmatainment? Something.
Yeah. They debuted her.
They acknowledged her
as a face in the crowd.
That was the end of that, yes. But JBL did recognize her, which he should since he's in charge of NXT and storyline.
Yeah. It's interesting that they made a point that AJ is 5 days away from the Divas Championship record, which is, you know, only a couple-year-old championship. But and it sounded very impressive until they said that the person who holds the record is Maryse.
Maryse, yes.
It's like, wow, is that prestigious? You're going to break the great Maryse's record.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Actually, when they first said it, I thought they're going to beat her on SmackDown.
I don't think so. I think they should let her break, you know. I don't see them. I guess it's possible. I mean, it is possible, but I don't think so.
Cameron's getting better, but she cannot run the ropes. And AJ knocked Trinity off the apron and then hit a Shining Wizard, pinned Cameron. And then the Funkadactyls got their own comeback afterwards.
Well, Naomi got the comeback. Cameron didn't do anything.
That's
set
right.
Set up Naomi and AJ.
Yep. Orton's backstage. He's all mad. Ran into Kane. He's mad about Cena. He's mad about Brock. He's mad about Batista. He's mad about everything. Kane, meanwhile, didn't give a shit. He signed him to a match with Kofi later, which Orton was very pleased about. So he knew where that was going. They announced that Warrior was going to the Hall of Fame, put him over big. And then JBL noted, I can't wait for the speech.
Speech will be something.
I can't either. We had Renee interviewing Paul about Brock, and basically Paul mocked Big Show for knocking out an old man as his intimidation factor for Brock. So Brock and Show at the Rumble. Kind of, I don't know. Kind of seems like a waste of a Brock match to me, but.
It is, but you know, the idea is that Brock, you know, Brock's got to kill somebody to get some momentum for Undertaker. So.
Don't they remember when he nearly killed Big Show the first time they feuded, throwing him around all the time?
Yeah, I don't think he's going to do as much as he did that then. Yeah, yeah, he was hurting him because he was doing all those suplexes to him every single night.
Yeah. We had Orton and Kofi. I'm pretty sure that from beginning to end, this was the longest segment in the history of Raw.
God, I mean, it's like the finish was kind of cool because Kofi won, and you know, that was kind of different, but God, was this match boring, or was I just
this match was boring.
Yeah, I mean, it was just like, it went forever. I just never got into it. I just started just doing stuff that I usually do during commercial breaks, you know. I started just lifting weights, believe it or not, because I couldn't sit there and watch this thing, and it's, I don't know why.
Well,
because usually,
I'll tell you
usually,
why.
I mean, I don't have a problem watching matches, but this was just boring me to death.
Well, here's what happened. First off, there was no heat. Second off, Kofi was gonna get the pin at the end, and so Randy Orton just beat up Kofi Kingston.
He held him down.
Like 22 minutes, it seemed. How long was this match?
It wasn't really. It was like 16, I think.
That's impossible.
I got it. 16:44.
Dear God. 16 minutes and 44 seconds of Randy Orton holding down Kofi Kingston in front of a dead crowd.
Chin lock and everything. Yeah, I mean, and Kofi got short comebacks, but they were never really anything.
Cut him off every time.
Yeah. I mean, you could tell after a while that when they were going forever and Kofi was getting no offense, that they were probably doing something different. But I didn't think he was actually going to beat him just because, Randy Orton's in the main event on the pay-per-view and Kofi's... You know, I mean, Kofi is in the Royal Rumble, but still, it's not like Kofi's done anything in a long time. And I'm not even sure why he won. Hopefully, in a week, this will actually, there'll actually be a reason for this as opposed to just, something that makes no sense.
Well, I think they're wrestling on SmackDown, so I expect Orton to just beat him.
I think Orton's got to beat him twice. I think Orton will beat him on Raw, too.
Poor Kofi.
Maybe it's just a way to get two more Randy Orton matches. That's all.
So, finally, Kofi made a comeback and was immediately cut off again. And Orton went for the draping DDT, but Kofi slipped out, hit the SOS, and pinned him!
Yeah, and he pinned him with a move that he's never pinned anyone with.
Well, thank God he's finally pinned someone, so now it'll get us some near-fall pops.
Yeah.
I will say that, to me, I thought that Sandow got over way more losing to John Cena in a competitive match than Kofi did with his fluke win after getting beat up for 16 minutes and 42 seconds here, but... We'll see.
I don't know about, because the thing is Kofi got a little bit out of it just because no one expected him to win. And I mean, Sandow didn't get over or not over. He's in the same spot he'll always be in. I don't think he's over more because he wasn't hurt. He wasn't hurt by losing, but he wasn't helped. I mean, Sandow's just kind of like in that spot. You know, no one believes he can beat Big E, and he's just kind of a guy there that. Just a guy.
I don't think a single person watching this believes that Kofi is ever going to be champion, despite him beating Randy Orton.
Kofi's going to be champion because they've seen Kofi get the start and stop stuff 50 times now, and I don't think anyone believes in it at all, and nor should they.
Orton flipped his lid, pacing around, going crazy, and finally he finds John Cena's dad. John Cena Sr. is there in the front row, and Orton grabs him, beat the crap out of him. Cena kind of ran down.
Really beat the crap out of him. Just kind of.
Well, they took him to the hospital.
I guess in storyline he did. It wasn't really all that much.
This is an old man, Dave. He was beaten up by Randy Orton. This could be critical.
I guess. I mean, John ran down really quick, and you know, I mean, I liked the angle. I thought it was a pretty cool angle in the sense of, you know, he beats up his dad and everything, and you know, makes sense to you know, build some grudge for this pay per view.
Haven't they done this several times, however?
With beating up John's dad?
Yeah.
Yeah, three or four times. I mean, Randy Orton punted him. I think Edge beat him up in his house once. So, yeah, at least a couple times.
So, off to the hospital they went in John Cena's jorts. We had Goldust and Cody against Ryback and Axel. I still have no idea at this point why Ryback and Axel are friends at this point, but they mentioned the Twitter deal this weekend where Ryback was just tweeting a bunch of nonsense all weekend and pretending like he'd been released. And
pretending like he quit.
Mentioning it on TV means angle. Not necessarily
angle. I don't
angle,
think it's an angle. I think it's just
not angle, but
on TV.
There will be more guys doing this, most likely, as a way to
that's great.
Get people talking on the weekends when nothing's going on.
Yeah. I mean, I just heard that the general consensus on the guy is that he's nuts in the company. He's like, if he was fired, it wouldn't surprise anybody.
Actually, it would surprise me, given how hard it is to get fired nowadays.
Yeah, I know. I mean, when he didn't get fired, and he said he did, and I asked around, there were several people who responded immediately, like, wouldn't surprise us at all if he.
Yeah, there
fired.
There were people. that is true. There were people that when he said he was released, this is in the company, were like, was he released? So it was not like out of the question
because
this would happen.
There's, you know, I mean, he had the heat over the Ziggler thing anyway, and he's got a lot of heat right now. I mean, even people who liked him don't like him anymore. So that's the deal.
Well, they had the match here, and Axel went for a neck breaker. Cody turned it into the crossroads, got the pin. It's fine, just kind of a tag match.
The match was pretty decent for what it was. It was all right.
So Goldust and Cody win. They're on the same page, and that usually means trouble may be coming.
I hope not. It makes no them doing, if they split them up, that makes no sense at all. I mean, it's you get a cheap thing, you know, and you're the feud's not going to last because people aren't going to want to see it. You know, it's you know, and they're a good team, and they got a good thing going. People are into the team to a certain degree, more than they'll be into those guys going against each other.
Batista's back next week. It's a big return.
Yep.
We had Rey Mysterio and Alberto Del Rio. Rey did a inset promo vowing to win the Rumble.
Del Rio, sure.
Yeah, not happening. Del Rio worked over his arm. No heat in this match. Rey finally did a comeback at the 619, went up top, got cut off. Del Rio gave him a super kick in the corner and then just put on the arm bar and submitted him clean.
Yep.
That was the end of that.
Yeah, well, they got to get Del Rio over because Del Rio's going to be fed to Batista. So it as much as beating Rey, you know, and I guess they didn't have to put Rey in that position, but you know, I mean, it just tells you where they kind of what they kind of view Rey as right now.
Well, but a disposable top star.
Just a guy. He's just a guy, and he came off as just a guy now.
Del Rio threatened to armbar Batista next week and throw him out of the Rumble. So double whammy. So Punk is backstage, is all upset. Looking for the authority. Kane says they're not here. Punk obviously suspects a conspiracy with the Outlaws. He wants Hunter to quit hiding. And Kane pleads innocent and then says, I got news for you. You may be main eventing WrestleMania. You're in the Rumble. So Punk is now in the Royal Rumble.
He's going to be main eventing WrestleMania.
You think he's going on last?
Oh, who knows who's going on last? He shouldn't go on last. The Undertaker match should go on last. Haven't we learned that already?
Well, I think that Punk is not going to consider a main event at WrestleMania until he goes on last.
Okay. Well, he's in one of the main events, but he's been in that situation before.
And then we had the main event. It was Bray and Brian against the Usos in a cage match. Kane had the key. No heat early. The Usos hit Brian with the back suplex off the cage, and that's when the crowd decided that this match was awesome. Some light, this is awesome chance. Bray went for his finish on one of the Usos, got super kicked by the other. They start climbing, and there was some miscommunication. Brian fell into Bray. Bray got crotched. Usos went over, and they won. So Bray is laughing afterwards. Crowd is chanting yes. Brian got on his knees. Crowd is chanting no. Bray goes over and he's going to give him to Sister Abigail, but Brian shoves him off. And at that point, the crowd, which had been dead for like 90 minutes, suddenly went absolutely crazy. They start chanting Daniel Bryan. Bray got on his knees. Brian just stood there in the corner staring at him, so Bray went for a charge. Brian moved out of the way. Bray hits the corner. Brian goes wild with punches. Three drop kicks in the corner. Hits a series of kicks in the middle of the ring. Takes off his Duke Drozzi gear. He's got his old red gear on. And takes Bray, runs him into the side of the cage to knock Luke Harper off. Runs him into the other side of the cage to knock Eric Rowan off. And gets the crowd to chant yes in unison. Hits his flying knee. And then climbs up to the top of the cage. And this crowd was so ridiculously into Daniel Bryan. You know, they just, I mean, I can't compare this to Seattle because I wasn't there live, but
it wasn't like Seattle.
It was crazy. It was crazy.
It wasn't like Seattle, but it was, you know, it was a big pop.
You seem to be understating this pop. I thought
this was
gigantic.
Let's just say, it was the biggest pop I've ever heard. It was a really big pop.
They chanted
really loud. It was a great visual.
Yeah. So now what do you do with this guy? Is it time to do something with him now? Have we figured this out yet?
Well, you know what? It
did you watch Randy Orton's match?
It was time to do something with him months ago. I mean, you can do it now. You can do it any time if that's what you want to do. You know, I mean, the thing is, what's the long term plan though? I mean, it's the same thing. Sometimes
but Randy Orton as champion is not working at all.
So he could go. The problem with that is that they promised it to Batista.
Well, Batista's there for a while now.
Did they switch and go, okay, we're going to give it to Daniel Bryan and we're going to move Batista to somewhere else? Yeah, they could do that. And there's no reason not to. It's not like people are dying for Batista and Randy Orton. So, yeah, they could do it. But if you put Daniel Bryan against Randy Orton on a pay-per-view right now, I think people will... You know, I mean, Daniel Bryan has to win, but I don't think anyone's going to buy it. I think people are going to almost, like, reject it.
Well, I would think that maybe you would have Cena win the title, and then they do their rematch.
Yeah, I suppose you could do that, but then are they going to let Daniel Bryan beat Cena twice in a row?
Why the hell not? It's not going to kill John Cena.
It's not going to kill John Cena. I'm just saying how they think.
Well, I know how they think, but hopefully they start thinking different now because they're
well, I mean, like, look, you were there Wednesday. Where was Daniel Bryan?
He wasn't there.
That's right. So what does that tell you?
Well, it tells me that between Wednesday and Monday, they realized we got to do something with this guy.
Well, sure. When the stuff happened on SportsCenter, I mean, you had to be pretty dense not to figure that out. Everyone knew that.
Well, they weren't going to...
That stuff happened Tuesday, and he still wasn't there Wednesday.
I know, but before you pull the trigger on the guy... I mean, I don't see them bringing him to the network announcement when he's still a heel on television.
Why not?
Well, because he's a heel on television.
Doesn't matter.
Who else? I mean, I guess they had Del Rio there.
Alberto Del Rio there.
I guess they did have Del Rio
on television, and he was nice to everybody.
I guess so. Yeah, I didn't talk to him, but
you know, I mean, it's they bring heels to. They had when I was they always bring heels. They bring they were looking for If Big Show was a heel, they would have brought Big Show because they're looking for impressive-looking guys. That's still, you still got to remember how they think.
I know how they think, but it's time. It is time to think
about. I'm not defending how they think and saying it's right. I'm just saying this is how they think.
I know
you were just there on Wednesday.
There on Wednesday, but you know what?
He wasn't. When they're bringing the top guys, he wasn't one of the guys on the list.
How many times do they have to watch their own Raw show and see Randy Orton not get over at all? And the place going absolutely crazy for Daniel Bryan and think, you know what? I know how we think, but let's think something different for a little while here.
Well, but the thing is, Randy Orton was there to set somebody else up, which actually was Batista. Now, if you think that maybe it should be Daniel Bryan, not Batista, it probably should. The thing is, though, is that now you got to figure out, now how do you do this for WrestleMania? Because if it's Daniel Bryan, Randy Orton at WrestleMania, it's like, I think that Daniel Bryan, I honestly think that Daniel Bryan's got to beat him in a television match. Because I don't think people are going to, I guess you could just put it on pay-per-view, but it's just such a...
Well, Mania won't be a pay-per-view.
You know what? At that point, it doesn't even matter anyway. That's a good point. I mean, he could beat them anytime. They just got to rearrange their, they got to just change their plans and then figure out what they're going to do from there. But I don't see Daniel Bryan beating John Cena a second time. I mean, you can do it, but the thing is that, you know, they're always going to protect John Cena because John Cena, you know, look at the tour this week. I mean, look at the tour this week. Again, it's like the John Cena cities outdrew the, now, of course, I know, but the tickets were still sold before Daniel Bryan turned. But I mean, you know, you look at, I mean, you know, I mean, every week the John Cena cities outdraw the CM Punk and Daniel Bryan cities. So, I mean, John's the biggest star. I mean, people don't want to hear it, but he is. Daniel Bryan gets.
Well, I think everyone recognizes that, but I think that the issue is that people are ready for something else.
I wouldn't argue Daniel Bryan being champion. I think he should be. I mean, I think he should have beaten Randy Orton at Hell in a Cell, and when he didn't, I thought that was a terrible blunder. And I think that nobody wanted to see Randy Orton in Big Show, and I think that the Byron Survivor Series proved that. I think that you know, they may have done okay for the December show just because they built it up as the biggest match in the history of wrestling. And you do that, you know, some people might have believed it, so they probably did a little bit better than usual. But the reality is yes, Randy Orton is not over commensurate to his position and how he's been pushed. No question. He is not. He didn't draw with Big Show. He didn't draw with Daniel Bryan. So it's not like it's all Daniel Bryan's fault. Randy Orton has not drawn on top. So therefore, maybe he shouldn't be on top. Maybe it should be somebody else. And, Daniel Bryan, you could make Daniel Bryan champion and feud him with Bray Wyatt. The thing is, though, when I look at it, you know, unless they're changing their plans, and if Bray Wyatt's going with John Cena, that means that Daniel Bryan can't very well beat Bray Wyatt right now. So, but again, they could change their plans, and they should.
Well, they did change their plans because I don't think this Daniel Bryan turn was scheduled for today.
No, obviously it wasn't. Obviously they didn't turn him back in 2 weeks. I mean, everything that happened that last Tuesday is what switched the plans. But and it was the right thing to do. You know, it really was. You know, I mean, the Daniel Bryan heel thing wasn't going to work. It was just going to prolong, you know. So, yeah, they got to figure out and rearrange stuff now. That's fine.
So what's happening with Jericho?
I don't know. I only know, okay.
There's advertising out.
So they say. They say they don't.
Well, there is.
Is there? They say there's not. I asked when I saw that, and they said there is no advertising out. The advertising department says there's no advertising out. Now, I don't know. I know I read that thing saying that there is. All I know is WWE told me specifically there is no advertising out for that, and that story could not be right because there's no advertising out. Now, the Winnipeg Sun had their thing, and they said that the Winnipeg Sun made a mistake, and they want them to correct it. So we'll see. I don't know. I don't know what's up with Jericho. I mean, I know 10 days ago he didn't have a deal with him. Could he? I also know that it all would take was one phone call, and he could be back. So where it stands, I do not know. I know that WWE says that, in fact, that didn't happen. I mean, I could contact Jericho, but it's not worth it, if you know what I mean, on this one, because you know it's just not worth it. So anyway, from
because
WWE,
he's not going to tell you one way or the other.
What?
He won't say anything one way or the other.
No, he will tell me. He says he's not going back. Whether he is or he isn't, that's what he'll say. So maybe he won't. I don't know, but it's just not worth it. So, but anyway, but as far as WWE said, they said that the story in the Winnipeg Sun was incorrect, that he's not on that card, that there was nothing there. And then when I sent in and asked about, what about this advertising, they said that does not exist. That's not true. I haven't seen it. Well, I guess we'll find out. I don't know.
I guess we shall see.
Yeah. I mean, if he's there, then he's there. And if he's not, then who knows? I mean, it ain't going to be March. It ain't going to be March 7th if he's coming back. If he's coming back, it's going to be earlier than that. If he's not coming back, I think we'll probably know by Elimination Chamber.
By the way, speaking of Elimination Chamber, we had a very interesting question on the call-in show today. So the network debuts the day after Elimination Chamber.
Yeah.
So when I go up there on Monday night at 11:05 Eastern, and I log into the WWE network, and I've got this giant library of every pay-per-view that they have ever done, will I be able to get Elimination Chamber that night?
No.
No, how long will I have to wait?
Not until after March 24th.
Not until after March 24th.
Yeah, on a one-month delay. Yeah.
1 month delay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that answers that question.
Yeah.
All right. UFC is Wednesday. Yes, everyone, there is a UFC on Wednesday. Dave is going to tell you about it.
I am?
Sure. What's going on Wednesday? What's the card? What's the main event?
I don't have it in front of me. I don't know. I mean, I know Luke Rockhold's fighting Costas Philippou.
Okay, so we at least have a main event.
Yeah, and I think Mike Easton's fighting TJ Dillashaw. I haven't really thought about the card at all. I'm going to think about it tomorrow.
What channel is it airing on?
FS1.
It's FS1.
A 5-hour show from 5 to 10 Eastern, 2 to 7 Pacific time. There'll be the first hour is going to be on Fight Pass, and then the next 5 hours are going to be on FS1, and then the Ultimate Fighter, the new season of Ultimate Fighter, will start at 10, from 10 to 11. So it's all night, all day UFC.
So Canada, Australia.
And you know what? I haven't watched it. I have that episode somewhere, too, of Ultimate Fighter that I haven't
watched. Is this Canada, Australia?
The Canada, Australia season with Kyle Noak and Patrick Cote's coaches.
And where is that airing?
On FS1.
FS1. So,
from 10
that,
to 11 every Wednesday night.
That season will be airing here. Okay. I don't know if that was an international season or not.
No, they've been advertising that for months, all over TV.
What television has this been? I've been watching the television.
Every UFC show has probably had an ad for UFC Nations that I've seen. I mean, going back
that?
Months.
Well, there you go. So Fox in April, what do we have?
Fox in April, yeah, they're going to do a show from Orlando on April the 19th. So that'll be the next Fox show after this January 25th show. And they've announced two matches. I don't think that either of these are the main event, although the Travis Brown and Fabricio Verdum may end up as the main event if they can't get a championship match.
That's the number one contender's match.
Yeah, number one contender for Cain Velasquez. And Travis Brown just signed a new contract, too. He got himself a raise. And then they also announced Misha Tate and Liz Carmouche, which was a match they tried to make last year.
That's a tough match because what do you do with the winner? It's not like you can give him another shot, right?
Yeah, because Liz lost her last fight. So it's not really, it's just a match. It's a match between, it's a match to put on television because they feel that both have good name value to put on a TV match. And they do.
Well, for the women, they do, yeah.
Yeah. You know, I mean, Misha Tate came out of that last pay-per-view a pretty big star.
Mm-hmm.
So putting her on Fox, it's probably a good idea. You know, to be, you know, for one of the four fights, it's a good TV fight. You know, Liz Carmouche has a little bit of name identity. Misha Tate's got a lot of name identity right now. So, yeah, it's good to put, you know, it's good TV fight.
All right. Let's look at the mailbag here. Believe it or not, we've got network questions. Since the WWE Network's first pay-per-view will be WrestleMania, are they concerned with the site or network crashing when everyone orders the network for Mania tries to log on all at once on the day of the show?
I think we've gone through that question only 50 times.
Would it not make more sense to have No Way Out be the first pay-per-view that WWE offers instead of Mania so that they can work on any bugs or issues that may arise when all this...
No Way Out?
Well, I think he's talking Elimination Chamber.
What?
I think he's talking Elimination Chamber. Or maybe he's talking the show after WrestleMania.
Well, that's Extreme Rules.
Well, I don't know what he's talking about then.
Okay.
So he's asking, basically, why not do the month before WrestleMania so if there's problems, you can fix it for WrestleMania?
The timing didn't work out. There's not really an answer. Just that's how they wanted the first one to be WrestleMania. They wanted to go out with it. They wanted to start out with a lot of viewers as opposed to if it was a B show, perhaps... Not many people would subscribe at the time.
Robert here says, do you think the Chael Sonnen Vanderlei Silva fight can draw significant interest and a huge number for the UFC? And when do you see the fight taking place?
I don't know. They actually just started filming this week. Chael is in Brazil right now. In fact, I actually heard from Chael in Brazil this morning. Didn't really tell me anything.
So he's still alive.
He was in fact still alive. So they'll be filming for probably 6 weeks. Then it'll probably be three more months you know, probably a month or two before it airs in Brazil. I don't know the date. And then when that's done, 3 months later, they're going to fight, and they're going to, I guess they're going to fight in Brazil. And that's the deal, yeah. I don't know if the fight's going to be on FS1 or the fight will be on Fight Pass. I'm not sure that. That I'm not sure of yet.
Chael versus Vanderlei on Fight Pass?
Yeah, I think it's probably going to be an FS1. But the whole, but the season, the last I heard, the season was going to be on Fight Pass, not on FS1. So I don't know if they'd make it consistent.
But
or
even
not.
Even if people in this country can't see the season unless you have Fight Pass, I still think that that is a fight that you can put on pay per view. That's two names.
I think you could put it on pay per view too, but and I hope that they do. But I have a feeling that it's going to be in Brazil, so it won't be a pay per view.
Hmm. And realistically speaking, do you think that Anderson Silva versus GSP will happen?
If I was Dana, I would push to make it happen. I think it's the right time and everything to do it. You know, I mean, realistically, I don't know if Anderson can fight again. I mean, I know he wants to. He wants to fight. But you don't know, you don't know how his leg's going to hold up to real training. And GSP, I don't know if he wants to fight or not, and when that would be if he does. I mean, I know people who know him who think he will want to fight at some point, but what that time is. So it's a matter of timing. So there's no real way to predict. I mean, if they're both, if it's, you know, again, 15 months from now, you know, or 14 months from now, whatever. I mean, Anderson is not going to be fighting for a long, long time. Like I said, if it's 14 months from now and the timing works out, I would try to book that match as the first match back for both guys. I just think it's a way to, you know, one of them will get over and whatever. But I think it's it'll be a great match at that time because it'll call, you know, there's a lot of intrigue in a lot of different ways. And you know, if one of them comes back and loses first, especially Anderson, it really weakens the idea of that match, so I would really want to do that match right away.
Zach here is asking his question a little late, but is the Fantastical Mania Eye pay-per-view worth ordering?
I'll tell you tomorrow after I watch it. I mean, if I'm going to watch one, I would say the Saturday one is better than tonight's one. So if you only want to order one, I would order the Saturday one. Plus Tuesday's kind of inconvenient to watch a pay-per-view anyway, and Saturday's a lot more convenient.
This person wants to know, why do you think they are waiting until February to even allow people to sign up for the network? Why not let them sign up now when there's buzz?
Because if they sign up now, then they're all going to be confused and think that they get Elimination Chamber, and they don't. So I think that idea is that let's not confuse them.
All right. How much of a cut do the pay-per-view companies currently take?
50%.
How much of an increase would WWE see with the network? What would MLB's cut be?
MLB's cut isn't going to be a percentage. MLB's cut is going to be a fixed amount. The network, the whole thing with the network is there's a fixed amount of cost. And anything above that, for the most part, you know, other than whatever they pay talent and things like that, and that's all, you know, I don't know what that is, and no one knows what that is right now. But there's a fixed cost, and everything above that they get. It's not like they're going to, like, split, you know, this percentage, this percentage, this percentage. They got to get up to, they got to get up to $120 million in revenue, and probably then a little bit more than that to make up for losses in other places because of the network. And, you know, I mean, to actually have this as a profitable project. The first year is going to be a lot more because I think they were predicting, you know, even at 1 to 2 million, even if they get up to 2 million, because of the startup cost, they may not be making money. But the general rule is that, you know, a million viewers going forward will be a profitable break-even point. So essentially, not the first year, but the second year, $120 million is what they need to generate before they start making a profit on it.
$120 million.
Yeah.
All right. By the way, regarding the No Way Out comment, Will here said, Elimination Chamber is still No Way Out in Germany because they are not big.
Oh, because you're not allowed to say Elimination Chamber in Germany. That's right. That's right.
Yes. Let's see here. How far back does WWE's WCW NWA Crockett Promotions library go?
Crockett stopped taping over the tapes, I think, in 1981. There's stuff before that, but not a lot. So it's pretty solid from 81 on. Georgia, I think it would go back a little bit, wouldn't go back quite as far. I know that when they were looking for, this is years and years and years ago, when they were looking for tapes for some special, I think it was one of the big specials, they realized they hardly had any of the stuff. And I think that I don't know if it was Scott Hudson, it might have been, but it was somebody like that they went to who, you know, had taped off the TV in Atlanta and had some of the old tapes. But WWE would not have those tapes. So when it comes to that stuff, I would probably have a hell of a lot more than they do, you know, of the older, you know, because I got a lot of the Crockett stuff from I don't know when, probably 78, 79, and the Georgia from 79 on. Almost everything in Georgia from 79 on. So, but it's, I mean, they would own it, but the tapes don't exist in usable form.
Do you think there's a chance the Hall of Fame will be broadcast live on the network?
I think there's a really good chance, yeah. Well, okay, no, you know what? I take that back. That depends on what deal is in place with USA or if there's a deal in place on USA, because USA is going to air it on Tuesday, and USA will be unbelievably furious if they put it on the network for free before USA airs it. Now, if it won't air at USA at all, then I would presume to put it on, I would think it would make sense to put it on the network. But yeah, it depends on what the deal is with USA, because USA isn't, you know, you can't put something on the network like that and then expect them to then put it on TV and try to get ratings out of it. That won't fly.
All righty. Does the WWE still have plans for Vince to come back and save the company from Hunter? The Authority have done nothing in the last month to further the storyline. And if yes, who will Vince's man be at Mania?
Well, right now it's Punk. So there you go.
So is that still the storyline, or is it just...
As far as I know, I mean, it may not be anymore, but I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. They kept wanting. You remember there were two times or three times they were going to bring him back, and they didn't any of those times. So, is it that they delayed it? Because I'd always heard they wanted to delay it till January, and we are in January now. Or did they just drop it? I don't know.
All right, still got a million people asking about how the payment's going to work for the network. This person wanted to know: will it be $9.99 a month or $60 biannually?
$9.99 a month.
He brings it up because he says with expiring credit cards and changing credit card numbers, it would seem that $60 biannually would be the only way WWE can guarantee themselves $60 per subscription.
That's an interesting subject there.
If we've asked that question a million times there. This person also bringing up Cena's red and yellow underwear. See, what is the reaction to the WWE network from TNA management? I would think the network's sheer volume of content, plus TNA's well-chronicled systemic issues, would have their management very concerned.
I don't think this affects TNA any way, shape, or form. TNA's got bigger, you know, TNA's got its own problems. The WWE network isn't one of them.
What's going on with TNA?
They're taping TV on Thursday. With their Genesis, Gail Kim and Madison Rayne are going to have a match. Bully Ray and Ken Anderson are going to have a match. Kurt Angle and Bobby Roode are going to have a cage match where if Kurt Angle doesn't win, he can never go in the Hall of Fame. And I think there's one more.
I'll bet he wins.
Oh, the James Storm, I think Kurt's going to win. James Storm Gunner match with the pole match with the contract at stake. So that's what they're doing on Thursday. They're going almost live. in a couple hour tape delay.
All right, everybody, you want to wrap it up? Well, we got a lot of stuff coming up tomorrow. At 2 Eastern, 11 Pacific, Jimmy Jacobs is going to be on the show. We'll be talking Ring of Honor and a bunch of other topics. And at 3 Eastern, noon Pacific, Ariel Helwani is going to be on the show talking networks. We talk at a lot of different topics, but obviously the UFC Network and WWE Network will be brought up there as well. And got a new issue of The Observer coming up, back issue coming up as well, and a lot of other stuff. So check out the front page for more, everybody, and we'll talk to you again very soon.